I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
People died for our freedom in 1776, in 1865, in 1941, and on September 11th, 2001. Freedom to dare, freedom to choose, and freedom to drink as much soda as you can in one sitting, in a public place. According to Dr. Pepper at the drive-thru, well, that's why George Washington lost a toe at Valley Forge. A half gallon of Mountain Dew to wash down a bag of onion rings, that's the reason James Madison died on the cross. But now, New York's Mayor Bloomberg wants to steal that freedom to drink a bucket of soda in public. Is that why men chose to fight in Okinawa? Chose to fight in Vietnam? Chose to go to war in countless countries that didn't even attack us? No, they died on the battlefield so that you may die in the bathroom of Weenie World. Could the soda restriction save your life? Maybe. But think of the men at Gettysburg and the Alamo who also gave up their lives for freedom. Is your life worth more than theirs? Of course not. For God's sakes, look at you. So order the biggest soda on the menu just to prove you can. Resist the nanny state and spite the forces of moderation and health until you keel over in the dining area of Bunny Burger, clutching your ruined hearts and whispering, I am an American, and I am a diabetic, and I am allergic to the following medications.
Caitlin Boggs, Wackenhacker, trophy wife of flamboyant airbag billionaire Omar P. Wackenhacker, escaped yesterday from her display case in the couple's Park Avenue home. The Final Edition Radio Hour's gossipers, Sylvia Gold, has the exclusive story.
I'm here at an undisclosed location in the Pierre Hotel on 5th Avenue and 61st Street in New York City with the immensely courageous Caitlin Boggs Wackenhacker. Now, Caitlin, it's well known in New York high society that you've spent most of the last 5 years in a spacious display case in the atrium of your Manhattan duplex.
Well, display cases aren't spacious, but yeah.
Who designed the interior?
My husband hired Barbara Barry to do it.
Ah, only the best for you.
Yeah, it took her about 7 minutes, and she billed him $200,000.
She's worth it, though, isn't she? Now, I understand you also spend some of your time in smaller display cases at your villa in Antibes.
Yeah, and at the ski lodge in Vail, and at the penthouse in Dubai.
Ooh, and who did the interiors of those?
I don't know.
Wasn't it not a dev?
Who cares?
Our listeners do, dear. They'll only feel sympathy for you if they know you have exquisite taste. Now, weren't you a Victoria's Secret model?
Yeah, a pretty popular one.
And you were 45 years younger than your husband?
Uh-huh.
So you must have known you were a trophy wife.
Sure, I married him for his money, and when he introduced me, it was like, hey, so-and-so, I'd like you to meet my third trophy wife, all out in the open. But I never bargained for the goddamn display case.
Oh, when did you find out about that?
On our wedding night.
That was your sumptuous fairy tale wedding in East Hampton in 2007 that cost over $2 million.
Yeah, the bastard announced that according to the fine print in our prenup, I was going to spend most of my waking hours on display in a large glass case.
Goodness, how cruel.
You betcha. And I've been trying to escape ever since. One time, I even tried to swan dive out of his box at the New York City Opera.
Goodness, how brave.
Got stopped by old Omar's billionaire buddy David Koch, the guy who owns the theater.
Oh, he probably thought he was saving your life.
No, he just didn't want to get blood on his nice new seats. He's like a prick, just like Wackenhacker. You don't make $1 billion doing good deeds for people.
But if you were at the opera, your husband obviously let you out of your display case sometimes.
But he's a total control freak. When they let me out for events, formal dinners, marital duties...
What are marital duties?
Don't ask. Anyway, I had to wear these special pantyhose called Sparks.
Ooh, like Spanx, designed by Sarah Blakely?
No, not like Spanx. Sparks have dozens of tiny tasers sewn in that slammed like 20,000 volts into my butt if I got more than 7 feet from Omar. See? We're more than 7 feet away from him right now, so when I turn on the pantyhose...
Oh, what lovely patterns the sparks make.
Yeah, they leave lovely patterns on your butt, too.
Oh, goodness, how cruel.
Yeah, same deal on stupid shop till you drop sprees with these creepy girlfriends hand-picked by his social secretary. God, the bitch actually zapped me if I didn't keep up with the group.
What was her name?
Why do you need to know? Helen Waddell.
Oh, Helen's a good friend.
Jesus, this interview is over.
A spokesperson for Mr. Wackenhacker, Helen Waddell, said his wife's escape was discovered when staff came to release her for a benefit to support inner-city kids crippled by defective airbags.
According to their prenup, Mr. Wackenhacker is entitled to an instant divorce, effective today.
Helen, how's the poor thing holding up?
Fine. Right now he's on his Learjet shopping for a new trophy wife. An imported one this time from Thailand, Colombia, Haiti, Slovakia, somewhere like that.
What kind of woman is he looking for?
A gorgeous, compliant girl who'll be thrilled to spend her life in a display case because she has the fatalism that comes from being raised in crushing poverty. And you know something, Sylvia? For a man as rich as Mr. Wackenhacker, that's a huge turn-on.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Confused man on bath salts found eating faces off of clocks.
Muslim Brotherhood admits it fears Baldwin Brotherhood.
Greta Van Susteren comes out as female.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. It's like Spinal Tap with minds.
Republicans are at it again. After committing the resources of their party to repealing Obamacare, now they are trying to repeal something even bigger and more significant. The Final Edition's Pepper Lewis spoke with Republican Florida Representative Alan West.
Am I correct when I hear you say that Republicans now wish to repeal health itself?
That's right, yeah.
Isn't health what you need to survive? People say if you have your health, you have everything.
We see health for what it really is, a tax.
How is a financial levy equivalent to a human being's well-being?
For too long, Democrats have said that we need to watch our weight, keep our blood pressure down, avoid disease, and stave off death as long as possible.
And you're opposed to that?
Let's just say we believe in letting the market decide who lives or dies.
Well, some people say you're crazy.
Well, they said that about Columbus now, didn't they?
If you repeal health at the federal level, will health be up to the individual states?
Each state will be free to set its own definition of what's considered healthy, free from government interference. For example, if you want to drink frack water in Pennsylvania, you'll be able to do that.
People have to drink frack water because the government doesn't interfere. Your argument doesn't make any sense.
I'm a Republican, not an intellectual.
What do you say to critics who claim you oppose anything President Obama does?
That's not true. We oppose everything President Obama does.
Are you worried about your own health?
Health, no. All Republicans are covered. You should see my PCL.
PCL?
Primary care lobbyist. Lobbies take care of all my needs. I don't even have a deductible.
So you don't want the government interfering with the market, but you don't mind the market interfering with government?
Who are you, Matlock? If I wanted to be grilled by him, I'd talk to Andy Griffith.
He just died at the age of 86.
See? If the government hadn't subjected him to so much health, he could have died a lot sooner.
No argument there. This is Pepper Lewis saying good luck with your effort to destroy the country.
Don't mention it.
From the producer of West Wing, Sports Night, and Newsroom, it's the fast-paced sink-or-swim world of your first summer job. Aaron Sorkin presents Drive Through. It's a boiler room world, driven by the charismatic talent of one brilliant night shift manager.
You'll have to decide your order yourself, sir.
Just tell me what you think is better, the Moo Burger or the chicken patty.
Each is good, according to your taste.
But which one's better? Why won't you just say?
Because they taste the same. Do you understand? Everything here tastes like everything else here. So if you order the beef, which is cheaper, it will taste like the chicken, and then for all practical purposes, you will have tried both.
The power and inspiration of fried food, seen by those who make it run.
Welcome to Burgerland. May I help you?
No, I'm starting work today.
That's news to me. Who hired you?
Tony, last Thursday.
Tony doesn't work here.
So, I don't have a job?
No, you work here. People don't stay long. Tony worked here Thursday, but he got fired Monday. If you're still here Friday, you can hire him back Wednesday. How much are the fries?
How much are
the... Quick, what do you know? How ready are you for this? How much are the French fries in all three sizes?
$209, $249, $279.
Good. You studied.
No, it's on a big sign right behind you.
And led by the fire and passion of one fabled night shift manager.
What's the Moo Burger? 1,700 milligrams of sodium. What's the chicken patty? 990 milligrams of sodium. Same flavoring. What's your name?
Kevin.
Salt is the basic flavor of all existence, Kevin. We've been eating it since we were single-celled creatures, but now we lap it up in excess, seeking a lost sensation of life. Now, you seem to weigh in the neighborhood of 340 pounds. I'm not saying our food made you fat, but your presence here and your fatal obesity are both part of the same root problem. You do not know what real food tastes like, and you have stopped consuming it for its intended purpose. You are filling your stomach because your soul is empty.
Never has the fast food business been so fascinating, either on TV or at any actual fast food job ever.
I'm stuck. I'm blocked. I don't know whether to put in more onion rings.
What does your gut tell you?
I'm gun-shy. I'm frozen. None of it makes sense.
All of it makes sense. You just think it has to be perfect. You know what's perfect? The brine shrimp.
Brine shrimp?
It's a crustacean from mainland saltwater lakes, but not oceans, and it lives for exactly 1 year. It is the only utterly consistent force in the universe. The rest of us are just trying to keep up.
I think the customers are getting mad.
Forget the customers. Forget the onion rings. Forget the smell of pot in the walk-in freezer. Walk with me. And all of it hinges on the vision and pride of one really great night shift manager.
Food used to be a sacrament, Kevin. We hunted for it, and we prayed over it, and we asked for its forgiveness. And I'll tell you something that may surprise you, Kevin, because it surprises me. I still believe in food. I couldn't work here if food didn't matter.
Can I order?
Drive-through is America. And this fall, America is going to Aaron Sorkin's Drive Through.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Mitt Romney insists he identifies with all races. Apologizes to racists.
Study shows you can get blood from a stone if you throw it at someone's head.
Bears no longer shit in the woods, so watch out.
The Final Edition Radio Hour doesn't want to just tell you what you're supposed to think. We want to tell you what you do think. To that end, we went and asked the first person we could find what's important to her. Young lady, what news item is important to you?
Well, I just can't stop thinking about that poor Adrian Peterson. You know, he was arrested in a bar down in Houston just for being black, basically. I mean, it was closing time, and he asked for a water because, you know, he probably wasn't even drinking. He needs to keep himself hydrated. He's a big guy. And so he asked for a water. They said no. And next thing you know, some off-duty cop is just jumping him and arresting him for resisting arrest when he wasn't even being arrested. It's a sad story.
Fascinating. Now, other people on this street, how do you feel? What do you think about that story from that woman?
Well, people keep saying he was arrested for being black in a bar. What no one ever says is, was he guilty or not?
I don't think being black is illegal
anymore.
Was he doing Jaeger? 'Cause that would be awesome!
What most people don't understand is that it depends on the type of bar he was in. Was it a bar that doesn't like black people?
I'm writing a song called All My Ex-Cons Live in Texas.
I just want to know, like, why this cop was arresting people when he was off duty. Like, shouldn't he have just been drinking at the bar?
Well, as a black man in Texas, I feel that... what are you doing? Let go! I'm not doing anything! I'm not doing anything!
Sir, you're going to have to come with us.
I'm writing a song called All the Black People I Arrested Live in Texas.
Well, as an Asian man in Texas, I just have... Hey, I'm not... What are you doing? I'm not doing anything!
Sir, you're going to have to come with us.
I'm not doing anything!
As a Jew in Texas, I'm leaving.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
According to many conservative Christians, the Bible has been terribly distorted by its recent translations. The literal Word of God has been corrupted into the liberal Word of God. The son of celebrated Catholic anti-feminist and homophobe Phyllis Schlafly, Andrew Schlafly, who happens to be lead attorney in the attack on the Affordable Health Care Act, decided to do something about it. His aim? To snatch back the good book from those who would spend their worthless lives feeding the hungry, paying laborers a fair wage, and healing the sick without bankrupting them. You know, stuff Christ might have done. Andy and his righty buddies have now completed their version of the Bible, stripped of its socialistical and radical lib pollutants, and returned to the pristine state God, the patriarch creator of the unregulated universe, intended. The final edition has gotten hold of a copy of the Conserva Bible. And now, the next chapter. Not of the Book of Genesis, of course, with its liberal overtones of rock and birth canals, but of the Book of Creation.
Chapter 3. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of sex, that it was firm and plump and juicy, she plucked thereof, and sank her teeth therein, and gave also to her husband, and he likewise sank his teeth therein. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were not naked. And the woman loosened then Adam's uppermost garment, and he likewise loosened hers. And she loosened his nethermost garment, and the man then loosened her nethermost garment, until they were out of their garments both, and likewise of their minds. And lo, they did dance upon the grass of the ground, and they did rock backward, and roll forward continually. And as they did rock and roll and twist and shout, they did fall into a frenzy, both man and the woman, and upon the ground committed there abominations. And when they were spent from their abominations, they did take the herb-bearing seed, and did roll it and smoke it, and lo, it gaveth them ideas, even as the Lord God had said, and they commenced to commit new abominations. Now the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day with his dog. And the Lord God did stub the toe of his foot upon their hindermost quarters. And the Lord God waxed wroth, and said unto Adam, Wherefore art thou naked? And what is that thou smokest? And Adam and his wife did look upon one another, and did giggle. Whereupon the Lord God waxed exceeding wroth, and he said, Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom you gavest to be with me made me do it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, Henceforth let it be thy lot, to be plagued by demons who shall tempt thee to become that which thou canst not be, such as a warrior, or an extinguisher of fires, or an operator of heavy machinery. And since thou hast put aside the decent clothing wherein I clad thee, hereafter no garment shall satisfy thee, and thou shalt be overcome by longings to change thy raiment every spring and fall. And unto Adam he said, Woe unto thee, for thou wast free to choose, and thou choosest wrong. Now shalt thou be banished from the marketplace, and the free play thereof, and bankruptcy shall be thy lot. And upon thy back, as a burden unto thee, thou shalt bear big government. And then the Lord God was silent, and waxed sad, and he softly unto Adam and Eve, saying, Knowest thou something? Mine only hope is that some day ye have children who do unto you the way ye have done unto me.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Wendy's has finally found the beef.
New Mayan calendar predicts end of Major League Baseball season.
Charlie Sheen to play Centaur in And a Half Man.
It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's comedy classic, National Lampoon's Deteriorata, a parody of the classic hippie poster Desiderata, recorded as a chart-topping single in 1971 by Les Crane.
Go placidly amid the noise and waste, and remember what comfort there may be
in owning a piece thereof. Avoid quiet and passive persons unless you are in need of sleep. Rotate your tires. Speak glowingly of those greater than yourself, and heed well their advice, even though they be turkeys. Know what to kiss and when. Consider the two wrongs never make a right, but the three do. Wherever possible, put people on hold. Be comforted that in the face of all aridity and disillusionment, and despite the changing fortunes of time, there is always a big future in computer maintenance.
You are a Duke of the universe. You have the right to be here. Whether you can hear it or not, the universe laughing behind your back.
Remember the Pueblo. Strive at all times to bend, fold, spindle, and mutilate. Know yourself. If you need help, call the FBI. Exercise caution in your daily affairs, especially with those persons closest to you. That lemon on your left, for instance. Be assured that a walk through the ocean of most souls would scarcely get your feet wet. Fall not in love, therefore. It will stick to your face. Gracefully surrender the things of youth, birds, clean air, tuna, Taiwan, and let not the sands of time get in your lunch. Hire people with hooks. For a good time, call 606-4311. Ask for candy. Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese, and reflect that whatever misfortune may be your lot, it could only be worse in Milwaukee. You are a fluke of the universe. You have no right to be here. And whether you can hear it or not, the universe is laughing behind your back. Therefore, make peace with your God, whatever you conceive him to be, hairy thunderer or cosmic muffin, with all its hopes, dreams, promises and urban renewal, the world continues to deteriorate. Give up.
You are a
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, John Marshall, Rachel Lyon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by John Marshall, Barry Lank, Dan Frick, Paul Richardson Bryan, Paul Seaburn, Fisher King, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Deteriorata, performed by Norman Rose, vocals by Melissa Manchester, words by Tony Hendra, and music by Christopher Guest. Be sure to visit us at thefinaledition.com often for daily doses of satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.